The Holy Gospel comes from Matthew 21.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you'll find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, "Say to the daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on. He sat. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth. Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple and threw out all of those who were selling and buying there. He pushed over the tables for the currency exchange and the chairs of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It's written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it into a hideout for crooks." People who were blind and lame came to Jesus in the temple and he healed them. When the chief priests and legal experts saw the amazing things he was doing and heard the children shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry. They said to Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Jesus answered. "Haven't you ever read, 'From the mouths of babies and infants, you've arranged praise for yourself'?" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, it comes to us a little bit early this year. Our text for the day. Our text comes a little bit earlier in Matthew's gospel than it does in our normal Lenten traditions. And so as we read Jesus' story together this year, we'll try to follow the story as Matthew tells it. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem now, and in a few weeks, we'll hear about Jesus coming. That is, after all, what he spends his time on as he prepares for Holy Week, teaching his disciples about what it will be like as the king returns. So, a bit of background for our text today. Jesus has just heard the request of a mother. James and John wanted to be at Jesus' right and at his left. They wanted to be his go-to guys. And, ever proud of her two sons of thunder, their mother comes to the Lord and makes this request. They weren't entirely sure of what they wanted. She wasn't entirely sure of what she was asking. Jesus acknowledges the request and reminds Mom and her two boys that those who want to be great in the kingdom God will be the least. Those who want to be first will really be the last. Take note of that point. It's a theme that runs through all of Matthew's gospel and will once again come to us as Jesus rides in to Jerusalem, the royal city. As Jesus and his disciples move on from there, as they leave Jericho, eyes fixed on Jerusalem, they come across two outcasts. Two men who were not able to see. They call out to Jesus, and the crowd of disciples hush them. Who are they? A couple of blind beggars. Who are they to demand the attention of the Lord? As we find out, it is they who will get a hearing with Jesus. He comes to them. Here's the request. He heals them, and what do? They get up, eyes opened to the way of Jesus. They follow him on the way to Jerusalem. In Jesus' kingdom, these last became first. So, here we have it. Jesus and his band of followers gathered outside the city of Jerusalem. Now, plus two. It's the setup for a march on the capital city. Jesus has planned things very carefully. He sends two scouts into the city ahead of him and gives them orders. Where we would expect Jesus to request a war horse or a chariot, the first century equivalent to a tank, we expect the Lord to request something more grand to ride into his capital city on. Jesus requests a donkey and a baby horse. Where we expect a tank, Jesus requests a beat-up pickup truck and a rickety trailer. It's these humble animals that we have the privilege of carrying the king into his capital. The procession begins, and things seem to be going very well, aside from the aforementioned rickety trailer, pickup truck. Things seem to be going well. The crowds have gathered in front of Jesus, behind him. They're lining the streets. People are shouting, Hosanna, a Hebrew word meaning, Lord, save us. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The king was coming. The crowds seem to get it, and they're moving in to the capital city. Not a bad day out for a march on the capital. As Jesus and his disciples enter the city, folks are throwing their clothes on the street just so that humble Eeyore wouldn't get his hooves dirty as he carried the Lord in. The city is in a stir. People are asking, wondering, who is this? What's going on? What is this good news? This thing that's happening here among us. Hosanna, Lord, save us, shout the crowds. It seems like things are coming together pretty well. The disciples have made quite the scene, and Jesus' presence is now known throughout the city. At this point in the story, it sure seems like it was a successful march on the capital. And then Jesus heads over to the temple. As Matthew doesn't tell us this directly, it may very well have been the case that the crowds followed him there in the hopes that Jesus would be going to the temple, that he might receive a blessing and anointing from the priests. That it's there that this king might come into his reign. Jesus gets to the temple. And it didn't quite happen that way. Matthew doesn't waste many words as he tells us that immediately when Jesus enters the temple, he starts turning things upside down. Literally, tables, chairs. Jesus flips over the tables of the money changers, making it impossible to buy or sell in the temple. Folks wouldn't even be able to have the currency that they needed to spend in the temple. Jesus flips the chairs over that belonged to those who were selling doves, the sacrifice of the poor. He throws them all out. He calls them a bunch of crooks. Jesus shuts down the whole temple economy. And you can almost see the doors open as the place so. At this point in the story, it's clear enough that whole anointing thing, that's probably not going to happen. Jesus threw the whole temple economy under the bus, or perhaps better put under the old pickup truck and trailer. Jesus threw the whole economy out the door and made room in the temple for more of his sort of people. Folks that wouldn't have been allowed in previously now start streaming in. The blind, the lame, come to Jesus and have presence with him in the temple. He does his thing. He brings restoration and healing to those who were previously separated from the worshiping community that gathered in the temple space. Sure, Jesus would declare its final and ultimate destruction in just a couple of chapters, but for now, the temple would be a fine place for people to be with Jesus. He was, after all, there. He brings healing, wholeness, and restoration to all those who come to him. And there is when we run into it again. The great ones and the little ones. The big and the small. Perhaps this time of year it might make sense to say the one seeds and the 16 seeds. The legal experts and the Pharisees are angry. The outcasts and the children are rejoicing. The crowds have dispersed. There's nobody left standing at Jesus' back except for the little ones. The ones who hadn't been allowed to be a part of the community. The outcasts and the children. The crowds who shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" They are conspicuously absent from the story. Maybe Jesus pushed things too hard. He didn't get the votes. They all left. And the only ones who stand by Jesus at this point in the story are those who didn't have a voice. The children and the outcasts. The great ones, the one seeds, they're angry. The chief priests and legal experts, they're upset. They had a system that was working, for them, at least. They were part of something great. The grandeur and beauty of the temple, the system of its economy that helped folks to do whatever they did. Jesus threw the whole thing out. And they were upset about it. The text makes it clear that they were, as it were, on the other team entirely. So worried about protecting what they had, so worried about protecting what they had been a part of, so worried about protecting their status as the greatest, that they couldn't see that God was doing a new thing in the world, that it was happening in their midst, and that it was all about God lifting up the weak and lowly. Bringing down the crowd. So here we have it again, perhaps 4 weeks in a row. It's the little ones who have the eyes to see Jesus and the good news of his reign. After all, God had called for praise from the mouth of infants. Babies. Today's story is one of a king riding into the royal city. It's a story of baby horses and donkeys. Story of little children and outcasts participating in and rejoicing in Jesus' kingdom. It's a fitting set of images for the king who rules by serving. May God our Father make us bold, that we might pray, that he would send his Spirit among us and make us small, that we might also humbly proclaim the reign of Jesus in our words and in our actions.